Perfect Stranglers contains graphic and explicit content suitable for mature listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, Stranglers. It's
Hi, everyone.
Oh, okay. God dang it.
Hi, everyone. No, it's fine. We can keep it. We've had a warning, you guys.
Yeah, we really did.
We've had a... It's been something.
Yeah. You'd think it was a full moon, but it's not.
You'd think Mercury would be in Gatorade, but it's not. That's not happening. We are recording at 8:30 a.m. on a Saturday. You know? And it's hard. I guess it's 7:30 for Brie.
It is. Which is my normal, work time, so.
Yeah. And we thought that... We were recording 7:30 Michigan time, so 6:30 Brie time. And I'm like, Brie, that's really ambitious, but okay. So it's hard because we're an hour apart and times are hard in every sense of the phrase.
Yeah.
yeah. So I told you, Brie, I have like Vaseline. It's not Vaseline. It's like Cetaphil, like ointment all over my face. Here's what happened. Yesterday, I dressed up for work for Halloween, and I woke up this morning, and, like, it takes, wearing face paint all day really sucks every ounce of life out of your skin that you could possibly have.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Like, it sucks everything out. And my skin was so dry. This morning, I put a hair mask in. I currently have Olaplex in my hair, and I have a thick layer of Cetaphil ointment on top of my like serum and moisturizer to lock everything in, and then I'm gonna take a really long, you know how girls take really long showers, like a full cleansing shower?
Yes.
Like shave, moisturize, hair mask, face mask, all of the things. Yep. I'm gonna do that, and then I'm gonna take a fucking nap.
That sounds lovely. Once you're all moisturized and everything, yeah.
Sliding into some really cozy flannel sheets and just conking out for an hour or two just sounds so lovely to me.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah. So, what movie did you see last night?
Ugh. I saw Halloween Kills. Ugh. And I mean, what do you say about that movie? It wasn't great, and I could have watched it for free on the Peacock app, but I went to the theater. Actually, I think it was probably better just because of the theater atmosphere, but the movie was just not great.
not top tier.
No.
No. I've never seen any of the Halloween movies, as we all know, but there have been so many of them that there's only... And Jamie Lee Curtis just keeps coming back for more.
Yeah,
I think she's just doing it for her own, like... pleasure at this point. Like, she just likes doing it. There's no way she's doing it because they're good movies.
Right. Like, she's got to put her daughter through college or something. I don't know.
So
they signed on to do another movie, like a final Halloween movie. So it's like, you know that, like, he's the whole movie, they're trying to kill Michael Myers and they do a terrible job of it. Just don't watch it, okay? I'm not going to give you spoilers.
That's fair.
If you want to watch it, I'm not going to give you spoilers, but I would not recommend it.
So what is it rated?
I don't know. It's probably rated R. It didn't have, like, a lot of cursing in it, but it was a lot of gore and a lot of... It's a slasher movie.
All right. Well, not my cuppa. But you went to the Rivoli?
Yes.
How was the Rivoli? How was the bathroom? Did you have to go to the bathroom?
No.
For any of you wondering why I'm asking this, the Rivoli Theater in La Crosse, Wisconsin, it's a very old historical building. Inside the movie theater that you're watching, it looks like a very old, there's like balconies on each side with like gargoyles, if I remember correctly. It looks like a very old theater where people would have actually put on like plays and stuff at the, you know, the stage up front. And then it literally looks like someone could have walked upstairs and went, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo, hanging off of the balconies.
Yeah.
But there's like, but it's like gargoyles. And then the bathroom, the women's bathroom, and it's down in this dark hole of a place. It's cold. The layout is weird. There's like a weird, I don't know. It's just scary.
It is scary. And I purposely, like, go to the bathroom before I go there. And I, like, don't drink a lot of fluids when I'm there. So they don't have to go to the bathroom because it's so scary and creepy. And I swear to God it's haunted.
It has to be. There's no way it's not. And I wonder if anyone has ever, like, seen anything, if any of the workers have seen anything, because I feel like there's Del's bar and then there's the bodega, but I'd never hear anything about the Rivoli being haunted.
So I mentioned it to a coworker. I said, you know, do you ever go to the Rivoli? Like, do you think it's haunted? And she's like, I go there all the time. And I know one of the managers and she says it's haunted, but I've never felt anything. So yeah, Maybe we ought to ask the manager that she knows.
Yeah, we should. Sometimes I feel like in those places, like, they look so scary that your mind already goes into it thinking it's haunted. So then, like, you know, your mind plays tricks on you and that whole, it's too early to think about what that's called. But yeah.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes I think that happens. But I bet all of the places around there are so freaking old.
Yeah.
There has to be something.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in the screening room?
That's where the movie was last night, actually.
In the screening room?
Yeah, in the little one. Yeah.
That's a creepy room. I feel like. It's so it's so small and closed off.
It is. And then they have, like, their house lights that they, like, that they just, like, keep low during the movie are red.
Yeah.
So it gives a really creepy vibe.
Wonder why it's like that. Is it still super fucking cheap to go? Like, beer's cheap, food's cheap, all that stuff?
Yeah.
God, I remember going there with my sister all the time because she used to work downtown. And I would go to my sister's, like, pretty much every weekend, I feel like, from the ages of, like, 13 to 18. Every weekend I was at my sister's house. And I remember getting their nachos, and they would give you so much cheese. So much cheese. And then the chips always tasted like salty cardboard, but I didn't care because you had enough cheese to mask it.
Gross.
Oh, I love it. All right. So let's do some housekeeping and then we'll get into what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about, so I'm excited about it. Okay. So I'll do housekeeping. Hi, Stranglers. How y'all doing? How the hell are ya? Thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, please go ahead and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and leave a review. That would be absolutely fantastic. One, we love to see the reviews that you guys give us. And two, the more reviews and the more 5-stars we get, the more people are actually going to see that we even have a podcast and then listen to it. So that would make us very happy. And it helps us out a shit ton. So thank you so much for all of you who have given us a 5-star review and rating and left a review. And don't forget to follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen. And follow us on social media. Facebook is at Perfect Stranglers, a true crime podcast. Instagram is at Perfect_Stranglers, and Twitter is at Perf Stranglers. And you know what? We also have a website, perfectstranglers.com. And feel free to email us contact@perfectstranglers and give us any of your weird stories, any recommendations that you have, all of that good stuff. We would love to hear it. And that's what I got for you.
Cool. Okay. I'm going to try and summon some energy. Remember when we used to do in hair school, they used to do energy and they would like turn the music up and then everyone would stand up. And
oh
like,
my God. I clap. Have not thought of that in so long. Yes! Holy shit, Brie!
Nobody, who does that?
Freaking beauty school teachers? Wasn't there like an energy? Didn't we chant something? Wasn't it like there was a saying?
I don't know. I don't remember that, but...
Wow.
Man. Okay.
Blast from the past.
Today, we're going somewhere tropical.
Ooh, love it.
Yeah. Bermuda.
Mama, come on, pretty mama. So, yeah. Hold on. Can I, that's another, like, recovered memories today. I used to have a Muppets sing-along, And they would sing that song, Kermit, and everyone would sing that song. You know what I'm talking about?
Down yes. That's yeah, how all I that learned stuff. That song.
Oh my gosh.
Not if from the I Beach could... Boys, from the Muppets.
Yes. If I could find that. Oh my God. I need to find that. Holy shit. I wonder. Oh my God. I wonder if my mom remembers listening to that. I don't even know if I would listen to that at my grandma's house or my mom's house, but I remember it. And I also, my grandma also used to have these VHS movies that we used to watch, but one of them came with like this black mat that you would open up and it was like space themed. And there was little plastic figurine sticky things that you could stick to the mat to go along with the movie. I never figured out how what it was for or why it was there. But, oh my God. I miss being a kid so much with all of that weird shit that she used to have.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what are we doing?
Bermuda Triangle today.
Yes! Did you know there's a Lake Michigan Bermuda Triangle?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah,
maybe
okay.
We'll have to do that one next.
Ooh, that would be good.
I considered doing The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, but I don't think anybody but Midwestern people would care about that.
Yeah, probably not. It's fine. It's fine.
All right. So, the Bermuda Triangle, right? Okay. It's, the term Bermuda Triangle was coined in 1964. So, like, this area hasn't been just, like, the Bermuda Triangle since, like, the beginning of time. Like, it started in, like, the 40s when this training flight, which consisted of, like, about five planes called Flight 19, they disappeared. And then that's when, like, all these, like, you know, weird suspicions and stuff about the Bermuda Triangle came about. And I'm going to talk about what happened in Flight 19 a little later on, but basically that's where it all started.
Okay.
So the term Bermuda Triangle was coined by Vincent Gaddis for a cover story for a magazine, and it was a term used to describe an area with an uncommon amount of ships and planes that disappear. According to Time magazine, between 1946 and 1991, there were over 100 disappearances of ships and planes in the Bermuda Triangle. Some of them are, like, unexplained. A lot of them have never been found or recovered, despite, like, rescue missions or whatever. So, the Bermuda Triangle is, the points of the triangle are Miami, Puerto Rico, and Bermuda.
Okay.
So, it's about, I don't know why, it's, like, debated, like, how big the Bermuda Triangle is, but I've heard figures from 400,000 square miles to, you know, like 1 million square miles. So I don't quite understand that, but, yeah. I'm going to go, let's
unless they're talking about like vertical because the air and the sea, but still, you know how high up I feel like you'd have to go so high up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just spitballing here. Like
maybe somebody was just trying to embellish the story with 1 million square miles or something.
Yeah.
So a lot of these ships and aircraft that have disappeared, a lot of them didn't like radio that they're having problems, and their automatic alarm indicating sinking or impact didn't trigger, but yet they're gone. Yes.
That's suspicious.
Yes. So, one of the earliest ones was the USS Cyclops, which was a fuel ship that disappeared in March of 1918. So it was before Flight 19. It was before people were like suspecting that this was like this area was like something weird about it. But it was like one of the first ones that did disappear and has yet to never hasn't been found. It's 2021 and the USS Cyclops that sank in 1918 has never been found.
That's wild.
There were 306 people on board and they have not been found either.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah. The captain never sent a distress signal and nobody aboard answered radio calls to the ship from the hundreds of ships that were in the vicinity. The area of the Bermuda Triangle is really heavily traveled, actually. It's like there's lots of shipping lanes in the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
Okay, another one, let's see, was December 28th, 1948, and it was actually an airplane, a DC-3, containing 26 people. It disappeared 50 miles from their destination of Florida after sending a radio call just stating their current position. They were about 20 minutes away from the airport. Like, it was just like a routine radio, like, you know, we're coming in, we're gonna be at the airport in 20 minutes or whatever. Like, it was just a routine thing. The pilot was calm, but they were never seen or heard from again.
Yeah.
So another, a little bit later on, 1951, October 1951, there was a U.S. Navy landing ship called the Southern Districts. It disappeared after being seen near the Bermuda Triangle, and nobody's had heard like a radio distress call or anything like that. The only thing that was recovered was a life vest from the Southern Districts. They know it was from Southern Districts because it had Southern Districts like printed on it.
Yeah.
And it washed up on the Florida shore. But no other parts of the ship were ever recovered.
That is so bizarre.
Yeah. And then in 1967, December 1967, a 23-foot cabin cruiser called the Witchcraft.
That's clever.
Yeah.
I like.
I thought it was cute, except the story about it's not cute. So the Witchcraft was designed to be virtually unsinkable. Don't say that because have we learned nothing from the Titanic?
Exactly. Come on, guys. Have we learned nothing?
Basically, it had a flotation device in the hull that was designed so that if it took on water, then at least like the top of the boat would be above water if the whole like cabin was filled with water.
Yeah.
Like it would be able to float for at least, you know, a while so that like they could get help or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the Witchcraft disappeared along with its two crew members. One of them was an experienced sailor named Dan Burak. So they set sail from Miami Beach and he, about a mile out, he called the Coast Guard to report that they had hit something in the water and they just requested a tow back to shore.
Yeah.
He seemed calm. He didn't say anything about the boat sinking or taking on water. But when the Coast Guard got to where they said their position was, there was no sign of the Witchcraft. They couldn't find it anywhere, and it was never seen again, never recovered, along with its two passengers.
God, that's weird.
Yeah. It's very weird. So the most famous Bermuda Triangle story is the Flight 19 story that I was mentioning earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It was, Flight 19 was a group of Navy fighter planes that were out on a training exercise with their instructor.
Mm-hmm.
It was December 5th, 1945. The planes had been checked prior to takeoff. The weather had been checked and it was supposed to have been favorable. It was five planes, with 14 men led by instructor Lieutenant Charles Taylor. They were leaving from Fort Lauderdale, and 5 hours after they took off, they had disappeared. So they left Fort Lauderdale. Their plan was to fly 120 nautical miles southeast and then make a practice bomb run, and then fly 73 miles northwest and then 120 miles southwest back to Fort Lauderdale. That was the flight plan.
Okay.
The student pilots on this training mission were qualified Navy aviators. They each had more hours in the air than the FAA requires for a commercial pilot. And they had completed all of their training except for this one mission.
Okay. That's weird. Like, yeah. Are you going to, before I talk, are you going to get into what they think the Bermuda Triangle actually is? Like, what's happening in it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have theories.
For sure.
I know, okay, Nicole, good. Nicole, if we're listening to this right now, she's like, aliens! I just know it.
Like, That's one of the theories.
I know!
That's one of them.
I know. Okay. She's like, guys, it's aliens!
Obviously.
Obviously.
Okay. So, on their training mission, the first part of their flight went well. Base was, basically listening to all their, radio chatter between each other and stuff. So they successfully completed their mock bombing exercise, and then they were on to the second leg of their flight. So about 3:10 p.m. during the second part of the mission, the instructor, Lieutenant Taylor, his compass started to malfunction. And, you know, this was the mid-40s, so this is a time without GPS, so they relied on compasses for direction, and he compared his compass reading with one of the students. Also, the students had been navigating the entire time.
Okay.
He was just basically following them and, grading them on their, how they do everything.
So they were the girls on the floor doing the haircuts, and the teachers were watching to make sure everything was going okay. And nobody accidentally used their actual shears instead of thinning shears. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. One time when I first started cutting hair, I had to do a razor cut. And it was like my second razor cut. And I was like, God, I fucking hate razor cuts because the sound of it just really, I can't.
It's gross.
And I remember, this is so bad, but it ended up fine. I remember taking the chunk of hair, instead of doing it vertical slices, I accidentally did horizontally and just cut off a little bit of a chunk on this woman. It was underneath. It was on the parietal ridge underneath, so she probably never noticed, but
yeah,
I did.
A little extra texture there.
Little extra texture. Yep.
Yeah. Oops. All right, so their compasses were not, the compass reading for Lieutenant Taylor and his students were different. So one of them was wrong, but the students, they had been navigating this entire time and were doing absolutely just fine. Lieutenant Taylor was convinced that they were lost, though, because his instruments were not giving the same readings, and they flew over these, this small chain of islands that they believed to be, the Florida Keys. But, an aviation investigator, who I didn't catch his name. I was watching this on Unsolved Mysteries. So this is from 1990. Okay. And the guy's last name, the aviation investigator, his last name was Meyer, but I didn't catch his first name. So Michael Meyer.
It's probably Michael.
So he in the early 90s, he examined the radio transmissions between the the transcripts of them, and the flight directions that were given to base, and he believes that flight 19 was actually 300 miles northeast of where they thought they were, and in reality They were flying over the Abaco Islands, which look remarkably similar to the Florida Keys from the air. So, using directions to Fort Lauderdale as if they were over the Keys, they ended up further out into the ocean.
Okay.
So the students with working compasses were probably like, what the fuck? Yeah. But when your instructor superior says you do it, then you have to do it. It's, you know, it's the military, it's the Navy. Around 5 p.m., and now this was December, so it was 5 p.m. and the sun had started to go down, and they began to lose radio contact with base because they had flown so far away east. One of the last pilot-to-pilot transmissions that base could hear was one of the students saying, if we just head west, we'll get home.
Mm-hmm.
And the fuel was getting low, and the instructor, Lieutenant Taylor, finally listened to the students, and they all headed back west. They flew due west for 49 minutes until the first plane crashed because of not having fuel. The remaining four planes made another huge error. They were only 7 minutes away from Cape Canaveral.
Okay.
But they hadn't spotted the Florida coastline yet, so they thought they were still lost, and that they must be actually flying over the Gulf of Mexico. So they reversed their course again, and headed back east, back into the open ocean, when if they would just have gone 7 more minutes, they would have saw the coast, and they could have landed in Cape Canaveral.
Oh my god, how annoying.
Yeah. Really annoying. But also, and then by 8 p.m., all five of the planes had disappeared under the waves into the dark ocean. The Navy searched for 5 days, but uncovered no signs of any of the planes or the pilots.
Wow.
Yeah. So, now we want to talk about theories.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Let's do it.
What, before hearing any of the other theories, what's your, like, at first blush, what's your theory?
I feel like there is, in the ground, there are ley lines that hold a magnetic field. I feel like there are ley lines in the earth that have a magnetic pull that are kind of messing with the technology or messing with compasses and whatnot that is possibly causing them to get lost. I also feel like ley lines or magnetic energy could possibly mess with maybe the weather or the water, because water also conducts energy. I feel like it's a mix of all of that that is just causing like this perfect storm of issues, causing shipwrecks and their technology to fail.
Yes.
That's my
theory. Are onto something.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's actually a proven fact that there's magnetic phenomena there, mm-hmm. because it's been proven that the area of the Bermuda Triangle is where true north and magnetic north line up.
Okay.
And scientists suggest that like electrical thunderstorms in the area can magnify the effect of the magnetic phenomena. And the magnetic interferences cause the compasses and other instruments to malfunction. It's also an area that has a lot of storms. You know, when you see, like, when it's hurricane season,
mm-hmm.
hurricanes are always going through the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the magnetic thing is one of the theories. Oh, one thing I wanted to note while talking about theories is that scientific data says that there is no evidence that disappearances happen more frequently in the Bermuda Triangle than any other part of the ocean. So.
Really?
Yeah, I guess.
So this is like further validation for me to never go on a cruise. Like, I need to do an episode on cruises because being in international waters, there's no real jurisdiction. There's a lot of murder that happens on cruises.
Yeah.
One of my friends, I think it was Julia, maybe, we were talking about we should go on a just got divorced vacation. And she's like, we should go on a cruise. And I'm like, fuck you. I'm not going on a cruise. One, I will get so seasick. And two, they're dirty. They're dirty as hell. They're disgusting. You're stuck with all of these people in the middle of the goddamn ocean. Like, no, yeah. I am not going on a cruise.
Especially in a pandemic.
No, panorama cruises are not my idea of fun.
No.
No.
No thanks.
Hard pass.
Not these anyway, days.
No. Just like ever.
Right. So the other theory, which is like not really a theory, it's like kind of like the magnetic thing. It's like a fact.
Yeah.
Due to the natural topography features in the area, it's just a naturally dangerous place to navigate.
Okay.
So there are rogue waves, and
I'm looking up the topography now.
Yeah, so off the off of Puerto Rico is the deepest part of the Atlantic. It's like a 5-mile deep trench, which compared to like the Pacific Ocean, bless you, the deepest part of the Pacific Ocean is the Mariana Trench, which is about 7 miles deep.
Okay. So holy shit.
In the Bermuda Triangle, which is in the Atlantic,
yeah,
the deepest part of the Atlantic is in the Bermuda Triangle, which is, you know, that trench off of Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
There's also a like a continental shelf. There is a, let me see where I wrote this down.
Is there a lot of earthquakes in the Bermuda Triangle? Like, I know earthquakes don't typically happen on that side of our country, at least. They're typically over in California.
I am not sure. I didn't look at that, like, where the fault lines were.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just looking at the topography and stuff. I'm looking at this thing that says there's a map of underwater craters that have no connection to the Bermuda Triangle. Or do they? It's a heat map of under the water. This is fascinating.
Yeah, there's lots of weird shit down there. There's also the Gulf Stream, which is the Atlantic's fastest ocean current. It's the North Atlantic Gyre. So basically, if your ship sinks or something, it's probably going to be sucked into this current and carried somewhere else. So that's why they, like, can't find these shipwrecks where they sank, is because of this, like, Gulf current in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
And not only that, but, like, you know, there's that deep trench, stuff like that.
Okay, it looks like there's the North American plate, the Cocos plate, and then there's another plate in the Caribbean. So there are tectonic, they're called tectonic plates, right?
Yeah.
So there are tectonic plates in or around the Bermuda Triangle. Interesting. I find underwater things. I know a lot of people are really scared of like the ocean or underwater or what's going to get them, what might be in the ocean. Because people forget, like, the ocean is so heavily undiscovered. There's far more ocean undiscovered than there is discovered. Hence mermaids. Truly, I believe mermaids are a thing. But, like, you never know what's lurking under there. And I feel like you just don't know what's happening under there. And I just, like, I want to discover the ocean. I just love it.
Yeah.
I love that I love how dark and deep and mysterious and scary and spooky and just, like, kind of weird it is. I love it. Everything about
it. Yeah, it's fascinating. The next theory, which is preposterous, is that the underneath the waters of the Bermuda Triangle is the lost city of Atlantis.
Oh, I forgot about that theory. That's one of the theories I remember.
Yeah, which is still thriving underwater due to how advanced their society is, and that those who have disappeared there are now citizens of Atlantis.
I just want that to be true.
I just picture them like the... Have you ever had sea monkeys? Like,
yeah. little, I haven't, like, but little, I know what you're talking about.
Like the little illustration of like the little castle, and they're waving at you.
Like, yeah. So like, is that where Jason Momoa goes when he's when he's just like chilling? He doesn't actually do whatever he's doing. He takes his whole family down to Atlantis, and he gets his Aquaman trident thing and rules the world of Atlantis. I mean, Jason Momoa's down there, count me in. Count me the fuck in. Just saying.
And then, you know, the last theory is aliens.
Yeah. Aliens is far more probable than
Atlantis.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So was Atlantis actually a society? Like, is Atlantis a thing or is that a made up thing?
It's a legend.
It is?
Yeah. Like the road to El Dorado. Kind of thing, like everyone's like searching for it, like,
okay, I was gonna say, you mean like Noah's Ark?
Cue hate mail.
Oh my god, you know, we should cut that part out. But you know what, have you ever seen Josh Gates not Destination. No, what is it called? He has so many fucking shows now. I don't know. He has a show where he looks for these things. He looks for Atlantis. He's looked for Noah's Ark, Amelia Earhart, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be an episode where he's like checked out the Bermuda Triangle at some point.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. I bet you there is.
I have such a crush on him. He's just everything.
I don't know why. Oh, man.
I don't know why. He's smart. He's funny. He's sarcastic. He is educated. He's tall. There's something about Josh Gates that I really enjoy. He has like a nice, strong dad bod.
He does.
I'm into it. I'm into Josh Gates. Hit me up, man. Josh Gates and Zachy Baggins. Those are my guys for this podcast, I guess. I need help.
Oh, man. Are we going to start tagging Josh Gates now instead of Zach?
Yeah.
So hell also, there was a thing that I wanted to mention that I found while researching, which is relevant to the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay.
I vaguely remember back in like 2017 reading about this man who wanted to run to Bermuda in one of those like blow up like hamster ball things from Florida.
Did he do it?
Let me tell you his story. Okay. His name is Reza, and he is an immigrant from northern Pakistan.
Okay.
He left Pakistan because he, I mean, like, he just didn't agree with their, like, politics and stuff, and he, for example, he was caught eating during Ramadan, and he was publicly beaten. So, yeah.
Oh my god.
So he's like, going to America. And yeah. He came to America, and he had a dream to, just this crazy idea to design a capsule, I guess, type thing, that where he could run to Bermuda on top of the water in one of those, like, you know, blow up clear ball things that you see, like, sometimes, like, people like rent them, like the bounce house people have them and stuff, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Why are people so fucking weird? I mean, that would be a great accomplishment.
Yeah.
But,
so
man.
He's a runner. Like, he's been running since he was 7 years old. And so this was, like, his, like, ultimate, like, cool, like, invention dream thing.
Yeah.
And so he designed it, and he started running on the water in this little hamster wheel thing.
Yeah.
And the Coast Guard stopped him, and he was actually, I think he was fined for doing that.
Really? Because it was an unaccounted
for. Yeah, like an unlicensed ship or unsafe vessel or something like that.
Yeah.
So he chilled out on that for a couple of years, but I mean, he was still like trying to improve on it. Like, yeah. He was building another one, basically.
Oh my god.
So he's building like another cooler, better hamster wheel thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep calling it that. I don't know what it's called. Like,
what was his name? I gotta look this up. What was his name?
Reza. I can't remember his last name. Reza. His last name sounded almost like Italian, despite being Pakistani.
Okay.
And so he
Reza
wanted,
Bellucci?
Like, yes. He wanted like school children to be able to like track him while doing this, which
that's nice. I like that.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? He was gonna try and do this like for charity too. And so he set out on his second voyage with this thing after being, you know, had the law stop him the first time.
Yeah.
And he had, I mean, he was, you know, he felt like he was better equipped this time.
Yep.
He had multiple GPSs, you know, he had, you know, all his food, whatever. He had made like protein bars. I don't want to say it was a bar because I saw it and it was just like a lump of
stuff.
Of stuff. I don't know what was in
a lump of food.
A lump of food that he had, like, yeah. And okay. So in this little like hamster wheel thing, blow up device thing, it could get up to like 120 degrees Fahrenheit in there.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Hard pass. And
like, oh, I forgot also, the first time a storm came and it like tipped him on his side. And he couldn't,
so he's like a turtle getting tipped over.
Yeah, like he couldn't ride it, so he had to like call for help or whatever. And then they were like, yeah, no, you can't do this, and also we're finding you.
Oh my god.
Because the like rescue mission to like tip him back over and like get him out like cost taxpayers money.
Oh yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. And so anyway, so on his second mission, he's going out. He's like, I'm really going to do this now. You know, people can track me. My wife can track me, whatever. So he takes off from Miami. And the Coast Guard is like, God damn it. This guy
this
again.
Fucking guy.
We cannot allow him to try this because, like, it's not going to work. Like, he's not equipped for this. Like, the thing that he's in is not safe enough for that long of a travel. Like, so they went up, they approached him, the Coast Guard did, and they were like, you know, basically like cease and desist or whatever. And he like gave them some pushback. He's like, it was so funny. They had footage of it in like a Vice journalism video on YouTube.
Yeah.
And the Coast Guard is like, sir, you have to stop. Like, this is not safe. Like, you know, this vessel is not equipped for this type of sea travel or whatever. And he's like, no, I don't need any help. I have, you know, I have like 5 or 6 GPSs. I have a DVD player. I can watch movies. Like, like, oh, I'm sure they're concerned about that. Like,
oh my god. Is it safe to have electronics in the ocean, though, sir? Is that safe?
I don't know.
Is that safe? Because I have concerns. I have concerns.
So, I mean, I think his point was, like, I am completely outfitted and I have everything I need. But I don't think they really cared that he could watch movies in there.
No, they gave zero fucks.
No, they didn't. So, but eventually what they had to do, because he was, like, basically refusing, they popped his hamster wheel thing.
Oh, no!
And they let it sink. Rude. Yeah, they, like, slashed it open and let it sink into the ocean.
What the fuck? Yeah. They littered? They literally littered a hamster wheel. What the fuck? Take it and recycle it. Goddamn.
Yeah, no, for real. Because it was all plastic, too.
That is the most frustrating thing I've heard of this entire story, is that they littered his hamster wheel.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So this man, like, he was not deterred by the first, you know, attempt and, like, being fined and stuff. Because, like, to him, like, he wasn't being publicly beaten for it. You know what I mean? Like, the country where he came from, like, that's, like, you know, whatever. But he came to America to chase his dream, and I think he just thought that, like, this is a free country. I can run to Bermuda if I want to.
Right. We have rules. We have rules. Not all There's of some... them are fantastic, but we do have right. them.
There are some rules.
There are some country. Rules that, you know... They likely saved his life, but you know what? He would have went out doing something he loves. So,
yep.
Yeah. I just want you to know that as I was looking at Bermuda Triangle, I got onto the subject of Aquaman, and I've just been looking at Jason Momoa and Pinterest for like 10 minutes.
That's okay. I have a Pinterest board of this Dominican baseball player that used to play for the Brewers and the What's Twins. His name? So, Carlos Gomez.
Baseball outfielder. Oh. Oh.
And he's tall.
Oh, and he got a dump truck. Sorry. Sorry. Sometimes I forget we're recording.
Okay. I don't know. I think that's what our listeners like about us.
We forget that we're recording for everyone here. He does. Damn. All right. Yeah. Pin that for later. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the Bermuda Triangle.
I like it. I like the Atlantis theory, but I think it's more of a magnetic field situation. Yep. Bree, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's the magnetic. It's the, you know, I don't think it's necessarily like the topography that causes the crashes or sinkings, but that's what makes them not be able to be found.
Yeah I agree. All right, well, fantastic episode. I like that you're picking like weird ones this season.
Yeah,
it like, spices no, things like, up a little bit.
I am at the point where like I can barely consume any more true crime because it is so depressing. Like, it makes me so sad, like, just to hear about, like, humans killing other humans for stupid reasons, like, day in and day out, like.
Yeah.
I gotta do, like, some old-timey ones, so, like, you know.
Yeah.
It seems like there's more distance. It's, like, I don't know how to describe it.
And there are other crimes besides murder.
Murders.
Like, this isn't necessarily a murder podcast. It's a crime.
Right. True crime. So all that like stuff. Heists or something. Right. Like, the Lufthansa heist. I could do that.
Right. The one we like talk about next. Yeah. The one we talk about next week, there's no murder involved, but there is crime.
Cool.
So it'll be good.
Cool. Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will chit-chat with you next Thursday.
Bye, everyone.